The child is no longer a possible child, but an actual, it's popped out somehow. I don't know how it happens. I was out of the room at the time. But it was it's extraordinary. I was. It's extraordinary that actually the church has been taken from one state into another. The people of God were moved from one state into another by a birthing, by the birthing of the Spirit. And constantly, as a people of God, we've been trying to crawl back into the womb ever since. But actually, we're called to be a people free, set on fire, and empowered by Him. The church is the most effective vehicle of transformation that God has released upon the earth since history has begun. Have a look. We are in parliaments. We're in hospitals. We're on the mission field. We're in every single nation in the land. All great endeavors for God have always come from the inspiration and empowerment from God. It's that very same Holy Spirit that was poured out 2,000 years ago is here today. Which part of today is today? Is today now? Well, I don't think we sound particularly convinced. Do you live now? Are you breathing now? Yes. Are you alive now? Yes. Some of you might think it's a dream or a horror. Just nudge the person next to you with your elbow. That's it. Can you feel them? That means it's real. The Holy Spirit that descended 2,000 years ago is available in this nowness. That was the same nowness 2,000 years ago. So let us not hinder the vast possibilities of God. And don't go, oh yeah, but I've been to church so many years. Doesn't happen. You might have come today feeling tired. You might have come today feeling discouraged. You might come feeling weary or cynical. You might be not expecting much. Let's just be honest with ourselves. If you come not expecting much, be honest. But let me tell you, God lives beyond our expectations. He longs to raise our expectations. Do you remember how I've talked before? That actually the stuff that's in here, we need to raise our expectations to here, not lower this to us. And we've done a lot of that in Christendom. And actually God is calling us to elevate His Word and to elevate our lives into the Word. That's the call. And guess what? We can't do it. Good news. You can't do it. But God in you can. God in you can make you a giant slayer. God in you, you can be city builders. You can be generation changers. If you've got a phone and you're a youth, can I encourage you, look up the Bible and not Facebook. But if you can do without your phone, listen to me, because I believe God is wanting to invest in a people of God, the truth of God, in such a way that it changes you and it changes those around you. But we need to step into it and not stay away from it. Are you tired of your habits? Are you tired of being discouraged? Are you tired of feeling like a failure? Are you tired just of the same old, same old? Let me tell you, God is tired of it too. He has more for you than you can possibly imagine. God wants to raise you in Him to His heights, that He may be glorified. So do not sit back. Sit forward, because God is in the business of transformation. It's what we're about. Making Jesus known and seeing lives. Yeah. It's all about Him. Listen to the words of St. Peter a little bit later in the book of Acts. Not very much later. He says this, that times of refreshing come from the Lord. I love the Message translation of this, where he says, turn to God so that he may pour showers of blessings to refresh you. Are you feeling stale? God wants to freshen you up today. If you but dive in and forget that, oh yeah, but last Pentecost I didn't get nothing. Let me tell you, every day is Pentecost. If you ask God, will he answer you?
Yes.
Yes? Yes. Oh, come on. If you ask God, will he answer you?
Yes.
Yeah, great. The Baptists are with us now. That's fantastic. Hallelujah. He was just cleaning his glasses. He couldn't tell what I was saying. He will fill you. He will refresh you. Do you need refreshing?
Yes.
Are we a stale people?
Yes.
Yeah. Do we need God?
Yes.
Do we need his Spirit?
Yes.
Great. You're with me. Come, Holy Spirit. No, no, no. What must we do to be refreshed by the Spirit of God? What can we do? How can we place ourselves? Because honestly, a lot of our spiritual life is about where we choose to place ourselves. Sometimes we go, oh God, God, help, 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 help. But we need to choose to place ourselves in the presence and power and glorious wonder of God's gaze. If you want to be transformed, get up, get into the fire. So what do we do, friends, to be refreshed by the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, I love that picture. That speaks to me so much of what God wants to do with his children. I'm imagining me being the dad. You know, there are some dads would go, don't do that, you'll get a cold. But actually, I remember in Quona Avenue, a great rainstorm happened and the gutters overflowed. I put my togs on and out I went. I swam in the road, and I swam under the gutter. Now thinking about it, probably not the healthiest thing to do, but my goodness me, was it great. Sense of freedom. This is what God wants for you. This is what God wants for me. What do we do? Read with this, friends. Read this with me. Put your glasses on. Youth, you're used to reading. Let's read this together. Everyone together. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Who spoke about it?
Jesus.
Well done. Do not leave Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit comes to those who wait. How good are you at waiting? How good am I at waiting? Isaiah 40, verse 31. Most of us will have read this as those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. But actually, if you look at the word translated for hope, it is interchangeable with the word of wait. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. How do you do waiting? Are you good at waiting? Most people cannot bear the thought of stopping. And if they do have to stop, they're busy doing something else at the same time. They pick up their phone. They start looking at Facebook. They start making comments or laughing or lolling or doing whatever they're doing. But actually, we need somehow to learn to wait. We can't stand waiting for buses. If you can't stand waiting for a bus that you know is going to come, how does that not spill out into our spirituality? When we know God is going to come, we just need to wait. Romans 5. You see, waiting comes against the get it now culture. Buy it now, pay later. Whatever we wait for benefits by shaping our character. Our character needs shaping. Romans chapter 5. We glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Oh, really? Perseverance, character, really? Yep. And character, hope. What do we do in the waiting? Guys, read with me again. Here we go. They returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were, big breath, Peter, John and James and Andrew, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary and mother of Jesus and his brothers. What did they do? They all joined together constantly in prayer. I am so impressed, guys. Thank you so much. We've come to the culmination of those 10 days of prayer of Thy Kingdom Come. We've had prayer meetings in the morning. My goodness me, I didn't realize mornings were so early. But we prayed at 7 o'clock every morning. I know that all of you couldn't make it. I know that all of you have very, very busy lives. But I trust that you have been praying at home, pouring out yourselves before God, Thy Kingdom Come. We've had evening prayer meetings. Again, not many of you were able to make it. But let me tell you, there was a sense of the presence of God. And thank you guys for praying, all of you, wherever you were around Auckland, because this will change the planet. Because God's ear is inclined to the cries of his people. They joined together constantly in prayer. This is a corporate act of prayer. And again, I want to encourage you. Do you remember Bill at New Year sort of prophesied, as it were, in his preaching about this being a year of prayer, God calling us in, and it caught in my spirit as well. Just a sense that we need to continue to discover the depths and the wonder and the glory of prayer, because it's in this place that the Spirit is poured out. Wait on Him. We give up too early. Paul writes, pray without ceasing. The great move of prayer that God has called us into. Will you join us in some way? We found ourselves so hungry for prayer, actually, or some of us so hungry that we gave croissants to them on Friday morning. But actually, we want to think about doing a prayer meeting in the morning once a week. And we're looking at either Tuesdays or Thursdays. It looks like 7 o'clock for about half an hour. We did say 6:30, and everybody there, their face dropped when we said 6:30. Including mine. But we want to develop more places and opportunities for us to gather together to pray as a church together, to wait on him that he may then pour out that which he has promised. God has promised to pour his Spirit out. It's our job to bug him about it. Lord, do it. So I'd encourage you, please, again, try to come and pray with us as a church. Much has been wrought on this earth through men and women and children who pray. Will you pray? Please do. Wait on him. Because waiting on him, prayer changes things. What does prayer do? Do you want things to change? What are you going to do? Brilliant. Well done. It also, prayer releases the miraculous power of God. We see it in this text. Suddenly there was a sound of a mighty, violent, rushing wind. That came out of a place of prayer. You see, Jesus had promised it. Our role in prayer is to make God good to his promises. Wait. Secondly, watch. We're watching expectantly. Prayerful people are called watchmen. People hungry for God are watchmen. We're looking to be hungry for the things of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he changes everything. The place didn't stay a prayer meeting. Did you notice? Suddenly, a sound of a violent wind. They were speaking in tongues and all sorts of things were happening, but they carried on in their prayer meeting. No. Things changed. Did you notice that the sound of worship, because they were all declaring the glory of God in different tongues, and by the way, tongues is a wonderful gift. It's not a first class and second class Christian thing. If you don't speak in tongues, it doesn't mean you don't love Jesus. But I would say, if God's given this gift, why don't we use it? Avail ourselves of it. It's such a beautiful thing. But I'm not here to talk about tongues. But did you notice out of that place of worship, people were drawn? Out of the place of passion, people were drawn to hear and see the things of God. When the Spirit comes, we will experience and feel God's love. You see, sometimes we go, oh, feelings. Feelings and religion are a very dangerous mix. And as you know, I've said this before multiple times, but William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury back around the Second World War, he said that delirious emotionalism is not the chief danger of the Anglican Church. And it's actually quite true. We need a fire set under our pews. So hot that our hands have to raise. Oh, Lord, it's getting hot in here. We need, the glory of God descends in the worship of his people. The word for wind there, the wind that came, is the Hebrew word ruach. It's actually from the Greek, but the Greek was translated. The Greek word and the Hebrew word are translated in the same way for breath and spirit. It's that same word, ruach. It's onomatopoeic, ruach. The breath. I have brushed my teeth. The breath of God. Sarah's fainting, but it's all right. God formed. God got some dirt and he formed man like that. And a really big nose did that. Formed him like that. And then he breathed his animating life and force into him through his nostrils. The ruach of God. The very animating thing of God. God is in the business of bringing dead things to life. The spirit of a God comes to animate his church. Sometimes to wake us up. Sometimes when we lack oxygen, we get sleepy, don't we? And I wonder if the church has lacked the oxygen of God, that we've fallen asleep a little bit. Yes, we're alive in Christ, but I think sometimes we're a bit asleep in him as well. I think the Spirit wants to waken us up, blow in us. Feeling is not a bad thing. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, was at a conference I was at in 2012, Leaders Conference, HDB Leaders Conference, a most extraordinary interview. And the question was posed to him, well, Rick, it's all very well for you. You've got a church of 22,000. It's absolutely marvelous. So well done you. But what about us when we return to our dusty little churches with 12 75-year-olds? What do we do? He said, before you do anything, before we give you any programs, firstly, you need to feel God's love for you. It's not what you know. It's do you feel God's love for you? And he went on to say that every revival, every awakening, every renewal, every ministry starts with feeling the love of God. Romans 5, carrying on from the previous reading. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. That language translated specifically is translated so we can understand it. Our heart is the center in our culture of the place of feeling and emotion and passion. That's where God is wanting to pour his Spirit. Into the place of our passions and our emotions. He's wanting to enliven our hearts. Feelings must not be discounted. Emotions must not be belittled. Weeping in the presence of God at his mercy and his grace and our sin is a beautiful thing. Let go. His Spirit wants to loosen us up more and more and more. You can be set on fire for God. In 1987, I was at an Alpha weekend, and I had an opportunity to be filled by the Spirit of God. I sort of walked around the back of the room for a while, but then someone came up to me and said, Fraser, what are you doing? What do you want? And I said, I just want more of God. He said, well, he's here. Just give him everything. So I gave God everything. I said, Lord, you can have it all, warts and all. And then he prayed for me. Martin Chivers was his name. He's a great man. Prayed for me. And I experienced the most extraordinary power. The most extraordinary power. And I started to shake and tremble. And eventually I fell forward. And it was great. I was then changed. I'd said 6 weeks prior, when I gave my life to Christ, God, you've got 6 months to prove yourself. A little arrogant, I know, but God proved himself. But now that I've tasted it, I want more. I want more of his power. I want more of his love. I want more of his transformation. I want more of the sense of his love in my life so then I can pour that love out. That's what God makes us hungry for. Tongues of fire came upon them. Fire has the property, has several properties. It has the properties of purifying, doesn't it? But you don't look at your house that's burning down and say, oh, look, my house is purifying. It also has properties of destruction. However, fire also can be linked very easily with the word passion. What drives your passions? Well, hold on. This is the Anglican Church. We don't have passion here. Passion is a thing that God has put in our hearts. We're to direct them aright to him. Evan Roberts, the 20th century revivalist, was key in the revival, in the great Welsh revival. He experienced the power and presence of God and found that he had an overwhelming compassion for others to come to know Christ. The most extraordinary outpouring happened. Of him, it was said. People said of him. Evan Roberts is like a particle of radium. He sets people on fire wherever he goes. Do you know, you and I are called to be particles of radium. Do you want to be set on fire for God? Passion draws people. John Wesley, the great preacher, he said, I have set myself on fire and people come to see me burn. Passion is attractive. Seeing someone really sold out for something draws something deep within your heart, doesn't it? Draws it in mine. We're called to be passionate people for God, for him. Not passionate for our own glory or our own reputation or our own skill or our own ability or our own quirkiness. Passionate for his glory. That's what God is calling us for. Don't sit on the sidelines. Dive in. If you want to get wet, you've got to get in the water. It's not much use, you know this, parents will know this. It's not much use telling a teenager to go and have a shower. Sometimes you need to point them at it and show them how to use it. Oh yeah, I've had a shower. No, you haven't. Push them. The gift that is promised by Jesus is available today. What's the other thing that we should do? We should expect, friends. Ask and you might receive. Seek, best of luck. Knock, sorry, the door's locked. Is that what Jesus says? Is that what the Word of God says? Is that what the truth of Scripture says? Has anybody read it? Ask and seek and knock and how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? It's not rocket science. One of my youth pastors actually did a degree in rocket science. And he says, this isn't rocket science. It's simple spiritual mathematics. Jesus said there's a promised gift. They're in the place of expectation. There is plenty of historical and biblical evidence of God longing to dwell amongst his people with the cry and the worship of their hearts. The manifest presence of God has been spoken of for years. Friends, read this with me. The trumpeters and the singers joined together in unison. Stop. What were they doing? They were singing in. Brilliant. As with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform the hallelujah because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Say this again. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I want that. Do you want it? Do you want the very manifest presence of God here? Yes, because that's what we're made for. We're made for Him. We had a great intercessor in our church. We did what's called a 24/7 prayer week in our previous church. We're going to look to see if we can plan to do it here as well. 7 days, non-stop, 24 hours, prayer being raised to God. One of our mad nutter intercessors was with us. And we were in a place of worship, and he said, "Fraser!" I said, "What?" He said, "Look!" I said, "What?" He said, "There!" I said, "Yes. It's a table." "No, look! It's a candle." "No, look." I said, "What?" "There's a cloud." That's what we want. I couldn't see it. But by faith, I believed it was there. That's what we want. And we also want, it's so heavy, don't we, Max and Bill and George, that the priests can't perform their functions. And by the way, teenagers, this is a different type of cloud than the cloud you're used to thinking about. This isn't the place that you upload and download information. This is the place that you upload and download your very self. God is longing to draw us in. The manifest presence. And do you know how that came? Do you know how it came with a place of expectation? It came out of worship. See, the Lord is drawn. I heard someone speaking the other week saying that actually in our worship, we pull heaven to earth. That's what we do when we worship. And it's from that place that the Lord says, "Oh, you're welcoming me. I want to be here. Here's my cloud." That's great. That's what God wants. He wants our hearts to be ready and focused and surrendered. He wants the church filled from the front. He told me, "Thus saith the Lord." Do you know, when I first came to Christ, we used to run to church to see who could get in the front rows because so much was happening. God was setting people free. He was cleaning my heart. Extraordinary. I'm going to share one more story for you, because sometimes it's even not out of an active place of worship, but out of a lifestyle of worship that God manifests his presence extraordinarily. 1994, I was an accounts clerk for a church, and I was carrying bits of paper, as you do as an accounts clerk, and I was moving from my office across the way, we had to go across the way, into the church, and I passed the really important people. That's the priests and the pastors. The pastoral meeting was going on. They were planning and doing things. Now that I know what goes on there, I feel sorry for them. But anyway, so I walked past and I got some stuff done, and then I walked past again, and Nicky Gumbel was leading that meeting at that point. I'm not trying to name drop, but it was him anyway. He opened the door and he went, "Fraser!" And I went, "Yes, Nicky." He said, "Look!" So I looked in at the meeting and everybody was on the floor. They were weeping and laughing and lolling around. And I go, "What's going on?" He said, "The Spirit's here. Do you want some?" I had a choice. Because I was paid to do my accounts. Paid by the church, by the sacrificial giving of God's people, I was required to cross-cast and make sure that all the accounts were done. But Nikki was saying, do I want some? And my heart was saying, yeah, I want it. So I walked into the meeting, put a hand on my head, and he said, Lord, would you bless Fraser from the tip of his head to the bottom of his feet? And bang, I was immersed and baptizoed in the Spirit of God afresh. Something beyond that which I'd experienced to begin with in 1987. And do you know what that did? It's made me hungry for more, because I know what's available. In that meeting, many of those people now are significant leaders in God's church. And I happen to be a vicar as well, because of the transforming work of the Spirit. You see, God wants to take you and use you, but he needs to empower you. So the question we have is this: do you want some? Or are you just happy with where you are? Do you want some? Let's do some. Let's do some. When we say come Holy Spirit, listen. When God says come, when we say come Holy Spirit, who comes?
Holy Spirit.
Does anybody else come?
No.
Please put that aside. Don't worry. God is faithful. Let's stand. You may just want to just move out, make yourself some space. We're going to throw the liturgy out the window. Make some space. Move yourselves out a bit. If you want to just come right up, say, Lord, I want this right now. Just, you can make a space anywhere in here, or come up to the front. Run up to the front. Do whatever you want. Come on. I know us Kiwis sort of really don't like sort of stepping forward and stuff like that. But guys, the presence of Jesus is what we need.